This is Joe Clement for the Old Mole Variety Hour. Normally, we have Brad Duncan on as our radical musicologist, and we will select a theme of songs that you'll hear throughout the show, and we'll have a singular recap interview at the end to talk about them. But today, we are just going to have music that Brad has selected that is in the radical, politically conscious vein, and a bit of additional commentary about that music right afterwards. And what we just heard was the Mekons playing a song called Tina. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Hey, it's great to be here, as always, and lovely to listen to one of my favorite groups of all time, the Mekons.
Could you tell us a bit about this group and this song, which you know is about 12 years old now, and it speaks to a phenomenon that has been going on for, you know, 30 years, and it still seems to be one that people appeal to. Tina, There Is No Alternative.
Yeah, the title, Tina, There Is No Alternative, comes from a speech that Margaret Thatcher gave in the mid-1980s, and it kind of summed up the worldview of people who believe that, you know, anything from trade unions to the welfare state and even anything, of course, to the left of that was all going to be a part of history because of the past, because corporations had and capitalism had so definitively won the Cold War. So basically the song was the slogan was banishing any thought that there could be resistance to capital in the future, that basically the class war had been won. And that's the theme of the song. It's such a deep song and not unusual for the Mekons. They've been around since the late 1970s, and they've always had a lot of really, really poignant and pointed political songs in their body of work. They were basically a part of the explosion of post-punk in the late 1970s, and in England, they're from Leeds, England. They used to play with groups like the Delta Five and that kind of Gang of Four, that scene. And then in the mid-1980s, they moved to Chicago and ended up being kind of a pioneering group that combined punk with country music, and later a kind of punk ethos with folk music. And we heard even kind of that reggae, dub reggae influenced folk sound on Tina that we just heard. So they're a constantly evolving musical project since the late 70s. And that song about neoliberalism and, you know, the possibility of something other than neoliberalism, there's that great line in the song, "And I can still dream of things that have never been but someday will be," speaks to a kind of sense of hope and struggle against, you know, the bleak times that it sometimes feels like we're living in. And that's part of what I think really makes that a kind of a magical political song from the Mekons.
Well, thank you for that little aside about the Mekons. Stay tuned for more musical selections by Brad Duncan, our radical musicologist, and mini monographs on them. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. I am Joe Clement, your engineer for the Old Mole Variety Hour, and interviewing our radical musicologist Brad Duncan about these wonderful musical selections. We just heard James Talley, "Are They Going to Make Us Outlaws Again?" One thing I really liked about this song was that it was very conscious of what people are being forced to do, and they don't back down from the fact that they may be forced to do questionable things, but they recognize that it doesn't have to be that way. It's like the final line, that it may be the way that things have always been, but that doesn't make it right.
That is absolutely true, and it really captures a sense of desperation, and it's so explicit about, you know, the economic situation that people are forced into, you know, when unemployment is high and wage earners, you know, are living on next to nothing, as he's explaining in the song. It's a very explicit, class-conscious country song from James Talley, who is a fantastic folk and country performer who's been around since the late 60s and early 70s. And Really, that song is one of his most vivid. It's a theme he comes to a lot. It's one of his most vivid. And it's also been performed by Hazel Dickens, who's also known for songs that really capture the raw reality of class conflict in the United States.
Thank you, Brad, for that aside. Stay tuned for more musical selections from our radical musicologist. You're listening to the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Garfunkel and Oates is the next musicology segment that we're going to do. We're going to wrap up the show with today. They will be doing Save the Rich, and Brad Duncan, once again, will be discussing the relevancy of that song. Brad and Garfunkel and Oates.
And those who don't create jobs really need help, too. Because without their seventh home, how will they make it through? It's not time for complaining, not the time for class war. It's time to sacrifice yourself to give them more and more and more and more and more and more. Save the rich. America's built on corporate greed. It's not Wall Street's fault if you can't get what you need. Save the rich. Don't go crying to mommy.
Well, we just heard some snippets from Garfunkel and Oates, a parodic duo of women singing a song called Save the Rich. We couldn't possibly let you hear the whole thing on air, so we're just going to have to give you a link to it when the Old Mole is posted. Brad, could you tell us a bit about where that song comes from and why you like it?
Well, I chose that song for today kind of as a tribute to the two-year anniversary of Occupy Wall Street. Because that song by the humorous music group Garfunkel and Oates, Save the Rich, was definitely written as Occupy Wall Street was really cracking and popping off. And that was definitely their contribution to Occupy Wall Street. And it's really a wonderful, you know, heavy-handed, but in really the best way possible, satirical song. And I loved it because at the time, it was one song, one of the funnier ones, but one song amongst many that sprung up on YouTube that was inspired by Occupy Wall Street. And I think there was a whole flowering of kind of a creative response to that from, you know, from comedy groups like them to, of course, everything from, you know, hip hop and metal and all the way, you know, all the way down. So I wanted to pick that song as kind of a tribute to that moment now 2 years ago. And because I think it's one of the more clever satirical songs that came out of the whole moment where, you know, the 99% and the 1% really kind of entered the political vocabulary of the country.
Now, this may be a bit more or too much for us to deal with right now, but do you think that YouTube has made protest music and politically conscious or politically conscious raising music like this more accessible, or do you think that it helps feed a perception of this music getting around without it actually happening in the mass events where protest music, you know, was born in the mid-20th century?
Well, I think that ultimately it helps political music really have a home that it wouldn't, considering that, you know, radio stations and main, you know, the key record labels aren't super interested in it. So I think that ultimately it's represented a broadening of kind of the of the voice that this music can have. Although it's true that it's becoming, as you're saying, more of a digital phenomenon than it is a mass in real life phenomenon. And that song, I suppose, is in some ways reflects that. But I still think that especially that fall and winter of Occupy Wall Street, when this song and so many of others were coming out, that I think things like YouTube as a quick, you know, really lending itself to topical songs as a medium was really used brilliantly by all kinds of cultural workers responding to the message of Occupy Wall Street.
Well, thank you again, Brad Duncan. This has been Joe Clement and Brad Duncan talking about the musical clip we just heard.